Hello, and welcome to Tech Champagne, a wealth expansion podcast designed to help you turn simple ideas into major impact and big revenue. I'm Elisa Purdy, and I've spent the last 13 years helping women entrepreneurs build six and seven-figure businesses with simple systems and automation. I'm here to guide you and give you my exact strategies for money, marketing, and automated business growth so you can create the life and business you truly desire. The income level you really want is well within your reach. Let's do this together.
This episode of Tech Champagne might contain some conversation that is difficult for some to listen to. In this conversation with Chloe, we do talk about topics including infertility treatments, pregnancy loss, and termination of pregnancy. So please take care when listening to this episode.
Hello and welcome back to Tech Champagne. My name is Elisa Purdy and I'm your host and I'm very excited for today's interview. Today I am here with Chloe, who's a total powerhouse. We've been chatting behind the scenes for the last couple of weeks and I'm just so excited to have you in my world, Chloe. I'm not going to pronounce your last name because you are a French person and I will not do it justice. So hi, Chloe, welcome to the podcast. I would love to have you pronounce your last name because it's so beautiful.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Elisa. My name is Chloe Barito. Which I think could be indeed has been pronounced so many different ways by American people, but Barito, yes.
Hi. Hi, I'm so excited. So you are a volunteer mentor with SCORE, which a lot of people know SCORE, especially us entrepreneurs, as a national organization of volunteer business mentors that provide free business counseling to small businesses. And it's funny, years ago when I got introduced to SCORE, I don't even recall how, I mentioned it to my parents and they said, oh yeah, well, when you were little, we used SCORE to, you know, talk about a business plan. And I'm like, wow, SCORE has been around for a really long time and SCORE has helped a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In every state, it's a federally funded organization, and it's just such a great one. So how did you get connected with SCORE initially?
Yeah, so it's actually when I decided to stop working full-time at a firm and decided to jump and start my own company in consulting. And when I started realizing that, you know, I wanted to create a different life for myself and I wanted work to kind of be not at the back of my life, but just the loop I was in is that it was work. And then sometimes I had time for other things. And I had this draw of trying to volunteer. So I was doing a lot of different little volunteer gigs here in Santa Barbara, helped at soup kitchens and different missions. But there was always this feeling that this wasn't quite it. This isn't how I wanted to help the community. And so when I decided to step down from working full-time, creating my consulting firm, and decided that I would not work for more than 20 hours a week, the goal was that the remaining 20 or however how many hours per week I have would be dedicated to personal development, self-growth, and to giving back to the community. And so in that time, I started like poking with different things. I actually got my yoga teacher training so that I could do free yoga classes, for local shelters and places where people cannot afford, you know, the practice of yoga. And yet, like, again, I was like, okay, this feels a little bit more, but I'm still missing something in terms of what I feel like my true value is to my community. And Googled, you know, business mentoring, and SCORE was the first thing to come up. And I started reading through that. And then I was like, okay, this makes a lot more sense. So I applied to become a mentor almost a little over 3 years ago, actually. And then they actually didn't follow up with me for 7 or 8 months because they had a break in their system. And so the new requests for mentors were going somewhere in the deep end and no one was following up on them. And that's funny because I had forgotten about them too. And then one day, completely out of the blue, they reached back out and did the interview, became a mentor. But at that time, I had a new idea for a project, which was to create a women in business group. And so when they reached back out, I joined as a mentor. And then it was also the perfect time to actually put my idea, my vision of a women in business group in action, which we can talk about later.
Yes. Oh, that's so exciting. I know. I love SCORE. It's just a really great way to support people in their business journey because it's not for the faint of heart. And, you know, technology grows and changes every single day at the speed of light. And if you don't have people that are in the technology space, which I know you are, and we'll get to that here in a second, and I am, then it's hard to support the business owners,
yeah,
you know, with current strategies. It's just really
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, of course, with your own experience of being a mentor with SCORE and, you know, having had your own journey there, that I think what's really the beauty of that organization is the fact that, like, we help people along so many different stages of the business life cycle. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is, you know, I get to speak with people who I speak with very young people who are still in college and have this idea and really don't know where to go and where to start. And then you speak with people who have run their business locally for, you know, 20 plus years and have very different, like, business challenges. And yet there is kind of like a common humanity that you can see, like a common thread that you can see. Regardless of the generation, regardless of the age, regardless of the business type, there's something that comes back. And I think that's why, like, it's a very valuable experience, even as a mentor, to get to be there, to watch, to witness all of these different stages. Recently, someone reached out to become a mentee again. And she said that 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, she reached out to SCORE. She worked with a mentor here in Santa Barbara to help launch her business. And now she's ready to sell. And so she needs a business mentor to help with the selling aspect of the business. And I just thought, like, you know, what a beautiful, like, 360, you know, like, beginning to end, such like a beautiful experience. She wanted to work with the same person. That person is not, it's not there anymore, but that was such a great story. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's a great resource for people. And I'm sure you are super valuable. So your background is in revenue operations consulting.
Yeah.
And before we hit record here, we were talking about your clients through your business. So kind of separate from SCORE.
Yeah.
And you work with one main company who has a portfolio of clients.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I kind of stumble across consulting, like, that was never my plan. You know, I kind of had a burnout happen during the pandemic, like probably many, many of us, or like Brené Brown calls it, her spiritual awakening.
Love it.
And it's a nice reframe. And and so at that time, all I wanted to do was anything but work. I didn't want to work. And so I didn't have a plan lined up after quitting a job. And I just really needed space. And a few of my peers basically reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do some consulting just to have like a minimum, you know, income. And at that time I said, okay, I'm willing to do 5 hours of work a week. Just so that I have a little bit of income. And in that, I just realized that the freedom that this setup was giving me, and again, opening the doors to me being able to actually gain power back over my life, where work was not going to be the center anymore. And as I've mentioned to you, you know, at that time, I think one big realization for me was, I have work and I have what I would call probably like a little bit like superficial friendships and a lot of different type of addictions to a lot of things are numbing because I'm not fulfilled. I'm not happy. Mm. And I'm missing, you know, of course, you know, like every girl watching Disney movies, like, I don't have a partner. I don't have kids. And there's something for me really missing there, like just a connection that I don't have. And I think I'm not going to be able to get on that path until I create space for myself. And if I'm so focused on my work and then I'm having all these like numbing, you know, activities around that because I'm so unfulfilled with my work, then I'm never going to get there. And so I had to like be very like ruthless with myself in choosing to move into consulting. I put this boundary that I would not work for more than 20 hours a week. And I committed to that. And in, I don't know like if it's manifesting or whatever, but in creating that space and in saying, you know, I'm not going to work for more than 20 hours a week. And through the power of my network and people I've had worked with in the past, someone reached out to me, someone who works at a private equity firm, and said, you know, like, have a few clients that need help with what you do, revenue operations. And so we would love to have you engage on like a few contracts. So I did that. And initially it was kind of like a one-off limited engagement. And then at some point, we really found that there was a fit in this partnership. And so we decided that I was going to sign a contract with that firm. And so now I basically, they're my only client, in the sense that I have, you know, a contractual relationship with them. But that opens up the door for me to do revenue operations consulting with the portfolio companies that they have in their portfolio, which is like a little over 70, 75 companies. And so it's unique in a sense because I have one client, but I really have 75 potential clients. And you know, it takes me communicating that I have 20 hours of capacity per week. And it takes us kind of like, you know, prioritizing and working on that across all of the engagements that I have. But it's been working pretty well for 3 years now. So that's good.
Great. That's excellent. I like the clear boundaries of this is how many hours I'm willing to put into it. And I think the bigger picture too, like you mentioned, what are the things you really want to bring into your life? Mm-hmm. Can you do that if you are working 40 plus hours? I mean, we all know a full-time job is more than 40 hours a week exactly. Because you are spending all this time before work, getting ready to go to work, and then after work, trying to wind down from work. So the amount of time that this job is actually taking from you is much more than you think. Exactly. I mean, energetically, emotionally, like how many times have we had a boss we didn't like and it sucks all of our like good energy out of our body and makes us sick and all these things. So as you know, I'm a big fan of being an entrepreneur, especially being a woman entrepreneur. I think I think any woman listening to this podcast needs permission, and here's your permission.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to bring into your life? And you said that you, at that time, you didn't have a partner and you didn't have kids. And so now you're sort of moving into a new chapter, and I'm really excited to talk about this part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Around the time I kind of like moved into consulting, decided to drop the full-time permanent role, I actually met someone, and I had in the past considered single motherhood, and I had put that on hold when I moved to New York for another firm a few years prior, because I realized that I was, as I said, I was numbing myself with all kind of like weird, you know, addiction stuff. And that for me to be a mother, I needed to work on my mental health. I needed to work on what was under all of the choices I was making. So I took the time to work on that for a few years. And then when I felt ready to approach the topic of motherhood again, I actually met my partner. So day two or three, I shared that I wanted to be a mom, and I want to be a mom in the next year. and of course, you know, he said, sure, yeah. Like, I mean, if this goes well, like, I would be open to consider that. And we were together for 2 years, and it was a quite challenging relationship in, you know, many ways, and we've all experienced them. And take full accountability for, you know, how responsible I was in this relationship as well. And I experienced 3 abortions in that relationship. And so I got pregnant 10 months into our relationship, and then 6 months after that, and then 6 months after that. And every time, for me, it was a mix of like joy and fear, because the joy, of course, of, oh, wow, I can create life. It's my body is able to do it. And the fear because of knowing that our relationship wasn't really stable and strong, and knowing that, you know, if I was to approach the topic with him, it would most likely lead to him asking me to get an abortion. And that's ultimately what happened 3 times. For some context, I used Natural Cycle, which I really highly recommend to everyone in terms of contraception. It's highly reliable. I had not gotten pregnant for 10 years. So it's very reliable until it's not. And, you know, I'll leave it to the universe to tell us why all of this happened. But it was a lot, you know, it was a lot to go through this emotionally, physically, and to just consistently have to experience this pain, this suffering, and this like something was taken away from me. And ultimately, you know, choosing to stay in the relationship every time. And then fast forward, we ended up separating last year. And I say it with a big smile.
I can see it on your face.
it was definitely not like, it was not easy. It was quite painful. Hmm. And that one breakup, there were many, many of those before, but that one breakup, the first thing I thought when he left was, I get to be a mom now.
Hmm.
And for me, there was something that had just lifted or appeared in his departure. And I thought about the single motherhood journey that I was ready to embark on a few years prior. And suddenly I felt I had this like power inside of me and this knowing that I got this. I can do it. I'm financially stable. I have a good business. I work less than 20 hours a week. I have time to build my life with my baby. I own my house in Santa Barbara. Like, I feel very, you know, healthy in my mind, in my body. I have amazing support, amazing women in my life, so much community. It was just so clear. Like, this is it. We're ready. We can do this. And so very quickly, just a few weeks after the breakup, I reached out to the sperm bank, who I actually had gotten in touch with 7 or 8 years prior.
Mm.
My account was all created. I just needed to refresh my password. and then I found, because I'm a pretty type A person, in my Google Drive, I had all these spreadsheets I had created with all of the information and what to look for. And so it was just like, I just picked up where I left off, you know, with 7 years of life and experiences. And then I think within a month after our breakup, I had chosen my sperm donor. I had found a midwife to work with to do my IUI, so intrauterine insemination. And I wanted to do at home. So I believe in, you know, like this idea of like cozy, private, intimate space where I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because this is such a personal experience. And so I worked with an amazing midwife from Rio Grande or San Luis Obispo. Her name is Aliyah Clark. And the reason I had to find someone this far is because there are no midwives in Santa Barbara that offer at-home IUI.
Oh, interesting.
You can do in practice, or I believe you can do at the birth center as well, or you could work with a fertility doctor, mm-hmm. but you have to go to their practice to do it, and I didn't want that. So I worked with Aliyah, and we had a one first try in July that didn't work. Then we tried again in August and I got pregnant. I was expecting twins. And then I miscarried in October, unfortunately. And then I let my body heal over, you know, the end of the year and Christmas. And then I tried again on my first cycle in January and I got pregnant. And now expecting a little baby boy in October. And yeah, so you can see kind of like, you know, it was definitely not a straight line to get
right
here.
Yes.
And I like to share all of the context of the pain and the suffering and the ups and the downs, because ultimately, when I look back and when I say it, what I feel in my body is peace. And I feel calm, and I would not change any of the path. I would redo it, everything exactly the way it unfolded. Mm-hmm. There's no parts of me that has any kind of resentment. I feel like I've accepted fully every pieces of the puzzle to get to where I am right now. And I'm very excited, of course, to welcome him so soon.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited for you. That is... You know, it's funny because I think that sort of like cadence is more common than people know. You know, we have a plan where women, and when you're younger, you have all this time. So there's not a lot of urgency around it. And as you get older, there's more and more urgency if you want to be a mom. And so then you start looking at what your options are, what, you know, the kind of assistance that you might need will be, and then you make a plan. And then it doesn't go to plan. And then there's a stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And I think it's more common than people know. So I'm really thankful that you're sharing that, because people need to hear it. It's very stop, start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's exactly, you're right. It's stop, start. It's painful. Like, let's just face it. Like, but that's life. It's just,
yes.
You look back at everything that you've done. You are still here standing. You've survived. You've survived so many difficult things. You've fallen and you've come back. And so this is just a tiny like representation of just how life goes. And I think once you're able to kind of surrender to that or accept that, there's a lot less suffering. Things still feel painful, but they impact you a lot less. For me, prior to entering really in this journey, like I was experiencing highs very high and lows very low. And I feel that in the last year and a half, my nervous system has been a lot more kind of level in the way I feel and experience things, because I've accepted that this was just life and that there's no need to change or to try to like argue or struggle against the pain, because the pain is always going to be here. And so, yeah, it feels, you know, it feels just normal and natural. And if anything, you know, I'm sure that, and maybe this is confirmation bias, maybe I'm just telling myself this to like prove myself something, but when he gets here, everything will make sense. Like when I look at him, all of this will make sense. All of these experiences, all of the challenges, they will make sense. It's part of his journey too. It's part of his story for us to be reunited together. So
you're making me emotional. it's such a big topic. And, you know, I recently started opening up more about it and created an Instagram. IVF over 45, I'm 46, my husband's 47, we're on this IVF journey. This was not my plan. You know, what do they say? If you want God to laugh, tell him your plans, because you're like, yeah, whatever you think is going to happen, it's going to be very different, very different. But in that journey of being very different, you are going to get stronger. You're going to, you know, be having these experiences that help you help other people. You know, when they get to these experiences. So there's value in all of it. And I always say there's purpose in everything, whether you want to agree with that or not. I really, truly believe there's purpose in everything. It's a life is a culmination of experiences, good, bad, indifferent, you know, and it's just going to make your journey with your little baby boy just so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I was sharing this before you hit record. Like, I think that it's very powerful, your willingness to share your journey as well. Like, I feel like my willingness to share is, it's powerful and it's important. It's, we kind of have to do it. 'Cause if you look around, there is no blueprint for how, mm-hmm. what we're doing, because society has told us that life is, you know, a woman and a man who gets together in the appropriate timing so that they can, you know, make a baby on time. And there's just so many parameters and pressure. And there is no book, no blueprint for what we're doing. And the reality is what we're doing, so many people could benefit from it, and benefit from knowing, from hearing, from even just like hearing someone else's story and be like, oh, I'm not alone, you know, because it feels very lonely when you're walking a path that is non-traditional, that is not the standard, the society's norm. And so you think you're on this path all the way by yourself, when the reality is there are a lot more people like you, but we just don't talk about it. There's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of fears. And so I commend you for, you know, being willing also to talk about your journey and yeah, just share that with other women, because the reality is really it's all possible. It's all feasible. It's all accessible. We just need to know about it. You know, we need to talk about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's a huge gap in education. And then the stigma keeps women from talking about it. And I remember going to a retreat. This was probably, oh my gosh, almost 3 years ago now. And my dear friend Ingrid, who listens to this podcast, hi Ingrid. I mentioned it to her and I said, you know, I think I really want to do IVF. And she was like, oh yes, I had my baby girl when I was 43. Come on. Like there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time.
Yeah.
I think I was 40 and she said, oh, plenty of time, do it.
Yeah. Had a recently, like, so I'm part of a group that's called Single Mothers by Choice, which is originally what is a book, and then a community was created. There's hundreds of thousands of moms around the world in this community, and then there's local chapters. So there's a few of us here in Santa Barbara, but we're really attached to the LA chapter. And so a few months ago, we all went on a camping trip together, and it was all these moms. I can't remember exactly, like maybe like 15 moms and then their kids. So maybe 15 to 20 kids. And we all went camping together in Ventura. There were moms, you know, who had the kids were 10 years old. And then there were like moms with babies and there were pregnant women like me. And it was so interesting to hear everybody's story and journey towards single motherhood by choice. And really what was truly beautiful to me, there were two women who were above 50 when they got pregnant. And it is possible. Mm. And it did work. And, you know, they wanted to have a child and they had a baby. And I just think that, again, like the you know, it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out there, it's available. And it's not easy. Again, we're not saying it's easy. Right. It's expensive. It's emotionally expensive. It's physically expensive. It's financially expensive. That's the reality. And even on the financial part, I think that there are so many ways to like educate people on how to leverage resources that are available. And we're definitely going in the right direction, I think, overall on this front. But yeah, it was really beautiful to see these moms and their children and the bond that they have and just the happiness, you know, in these mothers. So yeah, it's never, there's definitely a time where it may be too late, but I think that we have time and yeah, it's accessible.
Yeah, this magic number of 35. I don't know who keeps perpetuating this random number. And if anybody's listening and they're thinking, oh, I don't know, you know, my age, and I don't know how much time is left or what my options are, just call a fertility doctor, start the conversation. Yeah. I was shocked when I learned that as a single woman, I could adopt an embryo. I went through early menopause, so I don't have eggs. And so I was going to adopt an embryo, and they would do embryo implantation until age 50. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. I was like, wait, I could have a pregnancy after menopause with a donor embryo? And they're like, yeah, why don't we know this information?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's so wild. It's so wild. And like, yeah, I mean, the things you learn when you start embarking on like this IVF journey, the IUI journey, like the things you learn about, you know, sperm donor, embryo donor, like the process of creating life, even. I'm like, the things that I had to learn about my body in terms of like tracking my body temperature and understanding my ovulation cycle just by knowing my body temperature. And the first month when my midwife asked me to do that, I was kind of rolling my eyes, being like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, like, it's funny because I had done natural cycle for many years. So I had been taking my body temperature for many years, but I had never looked at the data, at the graph. Mm-hmm. And then when I looked at it and I saw that, yeah, there is a pattern. It's the same every month and it's yours. And you can literally predict exactly just by looking at that. I felt a little like betrayed, like, how am I 35 years old and I don't know these basic things about my body? And I started talking to all my girlfriends. I think I definitely went on like a 6-month crusade of like teaching everybody about how to learn from their body. But yeah, there's a lot of education to happen. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah. And I think I talk about medical stuff here and there on my Instagram, because something I'm really passionate about is actual real healthcare that's not motivated by money or big pharma or other companies trying to profit off of your health. I'm really passionate about that. And the reason, in my opinion, that we don't learn about natural birth control is because nobody's profiting from it.
Exactly.
There's no birth control pills that they hand them out like candy to 13-year-old girls. And then you're on birth control until maybe your early 20s, when maybe you want to start trying to conceive. In your 20s, you've been on, you know, synthetic hormones for sometimes 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just really damaging. And I hope that practice changes soon. And maybe we'll change our own practice with the availability of information.
And you know what I found really interesting was that when I spoke to my mom about it, my mom grew up in like a super countryside of France, very rural, extremely religious Catholic family. And they were sent super young to board in kind of like a convent. Mm-hmm. My mom said, like, I was so surprised because I was like, out of all the places, I would have never thought, but it makes sense. At church school, they were teaching the girls from a young age how to understand their ovulation cycle with their body temperature and with their mucus, by like checking their mucus so that they could naturally prevent getting pregnant, you know, in case you would engage in any sexual activities before getting married. Like, this is how you can prevent it, just by looking naturally and by doing natural processes. And I was really shocked that, like, out of all places, it's
amazing
church that they learned about it. Yay for Catholic French church, I guess.
Very progressive. My mom is Scottish, and we all grew up Catholic school, private school, the whole thing. That did not exist for me in my family. Nope, quite the opposite. So that's great. I hope there's more of that education all over the world soon. I really do. It's powerful.
Yeah, for sure.
This is so exciting. I love this conversation. Chloe, I feel like you and I were meant to meet, and I'm so glad that we finally did. We met in person last night, which is very exciting. I don't get to meet a lot of lovely people in person that often anymore. I feel like it's all on Zoom. But you also have a big event coming up in September. We're recording this on August 14th. It'll probably go live probably about 10 days-ish from now. So let's talk about your event.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about SCORE earlier. And so when I joined SCORE, I had this like idea of like, I wanted to help local business women to get together. And when I joined, the chapter chair, the president at the time, kind of like brought this idea to me. He was like, hey, how do you feel about like women in business group and you leading it? And I was like, perfect. Yes, I'll do it. So we launched this this group called Women Score Higher, which actually we can't trademark the name because that was another chapter in the country had created the name. We just borrowed it from them. But we launched our own like group here in Santa Barbara. And our intention initially was let's have a big event. Hopefully people will come. And then, you know, maybe we'll do this once a year. And we hosted our first event at the Cabrillo Pavilion, beautiful location in Santa Barbara. And so we had like a fee for the tickets, $15 to come. And then we had catered food and wine was served. We had, you know, a speaker. And the goal was really to like get women in one room, local business owner, and to give them a space where they could network with each other and share and potentially tell us what they wanted from a group like this, if they needed anything else, basically. And so we had, I think, around like 65 women show up on that big first launch event. Now I call it launch because things happened after, but initially we didn't really know what was going to happen. And the common theme was we want to meet more regularly than once a year. I was surprised, but people wanted to meet monthly in person. And also this was just out of the pandemic. We were, you know, officially going back in person. So I think there was a definite like craving for connection in person. I also believe that women, like there's something energetically that happens when you put women in a room together. And so I definitely felt that bubbling when we were all together at the Cabrillo Pavilion. So they shared wanting to meet more often, maybe smaller groups, something more casual, like doesn't need to be as structured as this event. And so we started meeting once a month for what we call our networking hour on the second Tuesday of every month from 5 to 6:30 p.m. And every month the location changes. And so we've been doing that now for 2.5 years. And we've decided to keep the big event at the Cabrillo Pavilion once a year as our like flagship kind of event. So we had another one last year that went really well. We had an amazing speaker come from Mexico City, talk about, you know, kind of like the self-care revolution and why like women need to really recenter on themselves. And we talked a lot about, you know, the patriarchy and how that influences how we show up as women in business. So it was super inspiring. We had an amazing panel of local business owner talk about what does it mean to be a woman business owner in Santa Barbara specifically. And so we're putting on the next one at the end of September. So it's always on the last Wednesday of September at the Cabrillo Pavilion. So September 25th this year. And it's from 5 to 7:30 p.m. And it's the same. We have, so the ticket fee is $15. We do offer free tickets for people with financial hardships. So there's all the information is on our website for how to get those. And the format is very much the same as what we've pretty much been doing in the last few years on those big events. So catered food, there's some wine. The first part is really to like gather and network with people, enjoy the beautiful view that we have from the Cabrillo Pavilion and the amazing balconies above the ocean. And then we'll gather to listen to one of our invited speaker. And then we'll have a speed networking kind of activity where it will be like short, fast paced, and people can really like get to meet people they haven't spoken to. Because what we find is that that first networking portion of the event, people tend to go to the people they know. Mm-hmm. So the second part will be really where you get to engage with people you may not know. We have some giveaways. We'll also have a lot of the local organizations and resources will be here to present and have like resources available, like Weave. We'll have EDC. Some Chamber of Commerce will be there. So for people who need like additional support from other organizations locally, we'll have that available. And so, yeah, if anyone wants to join us, September 25th, 5 to 7:30 p.m., Cabrillo Pavilion, and you need to register and get your ticket online. And now I'm blanking on the...
That's okay. We'll link to it in the show notes, Chloe. Yeah. I'll get the link from you and we'll link to that.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll make it easy. That's exciting. I think that will be lovely. I am so excited for this event. I just, like you said, it's just really magical when you get women together in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's grown every year. You know, I think last year we had like 80 women show up. We're hoping that maybe this year we have... Oh, my dog. Sorry.
Yeah, cute.
We're hoping that maybe we'll have over 100 people show this year. And so, yeah, talk to your friends, invite everyone. And a question I get often is this just for women? And so my answer is we welcome everyone who wants to be a part of the conversation. So feel free to join. If you feel the call that you want to join and you want to listen and be part of the conversation, by all means, we would love to have you.
Oh, that's very sweet. And where's the best place online for people to connect with the group?
Yeah. So for, SCORE, it's definitely to go to score.org and then find the local Santa Barbara chapter. On there, you can find mentors. You can apply to be a mentee or a mentor. You can access all kind of amazing business resources. Everything is free. And so I definitely would highly encourage everybody locally that hears this and has a business or is thinking about having a business to go and check those free resources. And then for our women's co-hire group that we created as part of SCORE, we are on Instagram at womenscorehire_SB. And we can also, from there, you can drop us a message and give us your email address so we can add you to the mailing list. So we also send a few emails, not too much, we're not spammy, hopefully, I don't feel like it. And we also just created our WhatsApp community, which we have linked on our Instagram page as well. So if anyone wants to be a part of our WhatsApp community, this is more space where people can actually chat with each other and exchange information. And we just started it yesterday because many people have been asking for it.
Yeah, I think anytime you can create online community, it's a big deal. It's a really valuable part of any offer that you have.
So yeah.
Can talk to each other. Yeah. Well, how exciting, Chloe. Thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we wrap up?
No, I think, just thank you so much for having me, of course. I really appreciate it. It was such a pleasure meeting you in person yesterday. I agree with what you said earlier, like this was definitely meant to happen at this specific time and like all in right timings. And yeah, if anyone, you know, wants to chat about business, about women community, about fertility, about single motherhood, they can feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or we can link my email and things like that in show notes as well. I'm very available for all of these topics.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Chloe. I really appreciate you being so open and honest. It's been so lovely.
Yeah, you have a great day.
Thank you. And thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Tech Champagne. And I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for spending your time with me today. I hope this episode brought you exactly what you needed. If you had fun today, be sure to hit the subscribe button or leave me a review. Your support means the world to me, and it helps other women entrepreneurs find the show as well. And if you're looking for a free place to connect and learn more about creating your own six-figure online business, check out my Facebook group, Empowered Entrepreneurs. See you on the next episode.